Our text for the sermon this afternoon comes from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, we'll be reading verses 1 to 6, but our text will be just verse 2. So Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 1. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among you, among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I'll never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So far the reading of God's word for hearts and lives. So just verse 2 again, that's our text. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Well, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I grew up knowing that my granddad and my grandma were a wonderful, godly couple. They were a fantastic witness to me of how a Christian ought to live. As I grew, I found out that they were involved in the work of Wycliffe here in New Zealand. And just for those of you who don't know what Wycliffe does, they are a fantastic organization that trains and sends out missionaries all over the world. And so my grandparents began the New Zealand branch and were involved in the organization for 40 years. And during that time, they hosted many missionaries and their families from all around the world. Many missionaries who would come back to New Zealand for a break or to tell the churches about the work that they're doing would often stay at my grandparents' place. And they'd stay there for days and sometimes even weeks. Their home was open to everyone. Well, that's what I grew up hearing about. I grew up then determined to do the same thing. And at my wedding, my granddad got up to give a speech, and the only thing I remember him saying, unfortunately, the only thing I remember him saying was, I pray that your home would always have an open door for family and friends to strangers you don't even know. That your home might always be joyful and the love of the Lord present in your house, that others might experience it and rejoice in the Lord as well. Now, as Christians, we are connected to past generations, not just familial, but also in the family of faith. And here in Hebrews, the author throughout the whole book of Hebrews has gone to great lengths to show that Jesus Christ and his sacrificial work on the cross has saved us from our sins once and for all. He's a sympathetic high priest. And then because of that, the author of Hebrews here in chapter 13 spells out for us just how that work of Jesus Christ should impact the way that we live our lives. The knowledge and the belief that in Jesus' saving work done once and for all time leads Christians to live out the gospel in their lives. We heard again this morning the two greatest commandments of God, and we know them well, don't we? Love God and love your neighbor. Now, these two commands are, as one theologian put it, the two beams of the cross of Christ. The cross is made up of two beams. One is vertical, showing us our relationship being restored with God. And the other one then is horizontal, whereby Christ and his work on the cross restores our relationship with our fellow man. Both beams are important. And while the vertical beam, our relationship with God, is of primary importance, it also forms the basis for that horizontal beam, our relationship with our fellow man. So if you neglect that work of Christ, which restores your relationship with your fellow man, you do stand condemned before God. Because these two beams are inseparably joined. You don't have one beam then without the other beam. And so we see in Hebrews 13 verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. How? Well, verse 2 calls you to show brotherly love to others through hospitality. The theme for this morning's sermon is, express God's love for others through your hospitality. And we'll consider this theme in 3 points. First of all, why be hospitable? Secondly, who do you host? And then thirdly, the gospel comes with a house key. So firstly, why be hospitable? Well, verse 2 says, do not neglect hospitality. This is a command based on the work of Jesus Christ, who has welcomed us into God's family. That's something you must do as a Christian. It's not that you need to do this to be saved. Jesus Christ has already died on the cross for your sins. You are already part of God's family. But now you are called to show hospitality precisely because you are part of God's family. It's based on the command to love your neighbor, and so it's part of your life of holiness as a believer. In the early church, hospitality was vital, as a vital part of the work of spreading the gospel. Well, just as it is for many today, even back then, the idea of welcoming someone into your home was a foreign concept. To include others who were not part of that immediate family was thought to be crazy. Here the author calls them, and by implication you and me, to share all that we have with others. Because scripture tells us all that we have belongs to the Lord, and so we are to be good stewards of what we have. Well, do you believe that? Because if you do, you'll use what the Lord has given you in His service. Loving your brothers and sisters in Christ by showing them hospitality does exactly what Jesus prays for in John chapter 17. It builds unity within the church, locally and all over the world. The gospel is not just a call to be nice to your neighbor and then hold them at arm's length. No, welcome them into your most sacred place. Welcome them into your home. Verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians that faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And so love of God is shown through love of neighbor. The greatest act of love that we can show to anyone is to welcome them into our homes. That is, welcome them into the heart, welcome them into the hub of your busy lives. Now, as I'm saying this, you might be thinking, well, there's a cost to having people over every week, and that's more food and more time taken away from when you could be resting. Whatever you're thinking, the benefits far outweigh the cost. Through hospitality, you cultivate fellowship. You cultivate friendship. You cultivate these deeper and far more meaningful relationships with your brothers and sisters within the church. Having visitors and unbelievers over will encourage them in their faith or encourage them to come to faith. And so maybe to put this command a little more positively, you could say this: remember to show hospitality. You're to be intentional in your hospitality. So even though you might know it's your duty to be hospitable, don't forget to actually do it. Get into a good habit of it. Don't let your feelings dictate whether or not you do it, otherwise you'll never do it. You might be tired. You might feel overwhelmed at the thought of just how much of work is involved or whatever you're thinking about having people over. Hospitality is an attitude more than it is an action. Because the action of hosting someone flows from your attitude of love. Once you begin, then continue to do it. One drop of water does not make a stream, and the same there applies to hospitality. Being hospitable once or twice doesn't make you hospitable. You have to keep doing it. Hospitality is crucial to strengthening the bond between brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's vitally necessary even today for the work of evangelism. Hospitality is the most effective way to share the gospel with your relatives or with your friends or your neighbors or co-workers. If you're not currently practicing hospitality on a regular basis, you're robbing yourself and others of the joy of Christian living. Because hospitality is the basic building block for vital Christian living. Why is hospitality one of the greatest evangelistic tools of our day? Because in our day and age, this society, we don't know what families are or what they should look like anymore. We've got a generation of New Zealanders out there that don't know what a true family is or how a family should really function. So many single mums and dads out there who also came from broken homes. And so bring them in. Show them how a loving family can and should function. One of the things that many people comment on when they come to one of our Reformed churches, and I remember this, I mean, my dad was a minister, so I'd hear it in various places. These people, whether they're from the community or they're from another denomination, they're amazed that within Reformed churches that there are families, there are teenagers, there's children, there's grandparents, all worshipping under the same roof in the same service together. It blows them away. Because as the church becomes more like the culture around us, even within the church, the family begins to break down. This leads to poor practices in the church, a lack of living out the love of Jesus Christ. Hospitality is the best way to cultivate a strong community within the church where we truly become a church family. It's this bond of love that draws unbelievers in to try and find out just what's different about this church. As we're bound together by love and being part of each other's lives, we as a church are stronger in our witness to the community around us. And that's why you should express God's love for others through your hospitality. Well, this brings us to our second point. Who do you host? Who are you to show hospitality to? Strangers? Here in verse 2, the term stranger is closely tied to the term brotherly love in verse 1. So what that means then, that the stranger, this passage really mainly has other believers in view, fellow Christians, but obviously we know still today that the term stranger can also mean anyone you don't know. But the question is the same basically as asking, who is my neighbor that I am to love? The answer to that is everyone the Lord brings into your life, whether Christian or not. Rosaria Butterfield, the author of the book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, says that the purpose of hospitality is to make a stranger a friend and then to make that friend a family member. To make a stranger a friend and then make that friend a family member. So will we host actual angels? It says in our text that through hospitality, some have entertained angels unawares. Well, having angels in our home is not really the point of this statement, is it? We can see if we read Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to help the angels, but rather Jesus Christ came to help mankind. It actually says that there. And we're to be imitators of Jesus Christ in our love for other people. So why are angels mentioned in this text? Well, this is a possible result of our showing hospitality, but it's not our reason for showing hospitality. Saying that some have unwittingly hosted angels is an encouragement to show this hospitality. It lends excitement, it lends weight to the blessing of hospitality. Let me ask you this question, or these questions, I should say. How many of us see a new person in church and get excited at the prospect of inviting them over? Or to make it more personal, would you, when you see someone new in church, get excited about having them over for lunch? Would the thought of having them over even enter your mind? What if you thought they were poorly dressed? Oh, now you're thinking, no way, aren't you? I mean, do you see what the author of Hebrews is doing? He says, well, what if that person's an angel? Whatever they look like. And by hosting them, you're hosting an angel unawares. Well, now it's exciting to think about hosting people, isn't it? You are to show hospitality out of love. That's what the author's saying. So it's better to think of someone being an angel and to treat your guest with the same honor you treat an angel rather than risk treating them unworthily. In the Old Testament, angels literally and physically were hosted. Just think of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18. There Abraham has three strangers come up to him, and he just jumps up straight away, gives them water, gives them food, gives them rest. All these three strangers are angels. In fact, one of them is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Abraham entertained his future descendant, his Lord and Savior, without even knowing it. We're encouraged here to do the same as Abraham, our father in the faith. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 25. What you did for the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Shouldn't matter whether someone is an angel or not. Love should compel you and excite you to have them over. And so you're encouraged to get hospitality happening in the church. Don't just have over the people you normally and more naturally gravitate towards. Have everyone over. Visitors to the church, families in the church that you have little or nothing to do with. Have everyone. Because the test of the genuineness of God's love in your own life is expressed in showing hospitality to all. So this brings us to our third and final point this afternoon. The gospel comes with a house key. Hospitality is something you must do as a Christian because it's a key part of promoting and maintaining brotherly love. When you sign up for a life of following and serving your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, you just signed on the dotted line of the open home policy. Home is where the heart is. To take that further, where the gospel is concerned, inviting someone into your home is loving them from your heart. When you welcome them into your home to fellowship with you, you are bringing them into the hub of your life. You're sharing with them and everything that God has given you. You're showing them who you are in Jesus Christ. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we're given a list of the fathers of the faith, and we see the legacy that they've left behind for us. Hebrews really shows us the connection that we have with all who have gone on before us in the faith. Connected to each other through our connection in Christ by the Holy Spirit. As we're connected to our forefathers of the faith and the legacy they leave to all future generations of faith, including us, so too we have our own families that we're a part of, where we also pass on our legacy to the future generations. As I mentioned in the introduction, my grandparents left me this legacy of hospitality. My parents as well, you know, they always strove to have a family over each Sunday for lunch and sometimes for dinner as well. And that's my heritage. These are my fathers and family in the faith. And that's given me the desire to pass it on to my children as well. So I have to ask you this afternoon, is that a similar witness that you've had as you grew up? Well, if yes, then praise the Lord for faithful generations in your family. I know many of you here already practice hospitality, and you do it well. You really do. You're a wonderful example of this, and so I pray that this sermon is an encouragement to you. But if you don't have this legacy in your family history, well, then hear the word of God this afternoon and make this heritage the example for you and your family. That future generations in your line would point to you as the first faithful example of hospitality. You can start that new pattern for your own household as you seek to express God's love for others. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I don't even know how to begin to do this. Well, let's consider just a couple of practical steps on how to show hospitality. Well, firstly, as an encouragement, it doesn't have to be neat and tidy. The hospitality of the gospel is very ordinary. It's very messy as well. You live in your home, it should look lived in. Maybe the folded washing is still on the counter. Maybe the toys are still all over the living room floor. Maybe your front doorstep's broken. Nevertheless, just invite people over. Secondly, a meal doesn't have to be a five-star meal. Maybe you think you can't have someone over because you don't have much of the way of food in the house. I'll just tell you a little story. In the States, someone reminisced to me about the hospitality shown to them by another family in the church. They said, oh, I couldn't believe it. They invited us over on the spur of the moment on a Sunday afternoon, and we said to them, are you sure we've got 6 kids? Well, they just said, yes. We'll add more water to the soup. And so they did. Just invite people over, you know, and that's the legacy that remained with them, even though we came along 6 years later. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you can see just how simple hospitality can be. All you need is a floor, preferably carpeted, and a little something to feed your guests. Brothers and sisters, all of us need to hear and obey this command from God to show hospitality, because there's so much blessing from God to be had in the act of having other people over, often blessings that we least expect. So if you want to find a way to encourage other brothers and sisters in the faith, have them over. Because Christian hospitality fans the flames of Christian love in powerful ways. Eating with another Christian in particular really displays one of the most solemn bonds of brotherhood. Eating together in our homes is a beautiful sign of Christian oneness, displaying the love of the brethren, the peace of God. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4 verse 9 calls us to practice hospitality cheerfully. Because hospitality is the most practical vehicle for exercising one's spiritual gifts. How, you might ask? Well, it does this because you're showing love by inviting others into your home, and not only that, but you're signing yourself up to an afternoon or an evening of service. serving your guests self-sacrificially. Parents, through hospitality, your children will benefit so much from your godly example in showing God's love in this way. Children pick up so much from having that fellowship, even if the people you invite over don't have children like you do. They learn then firsthand what it is to serve and love and how to reach out to others. And listening to adult conversation, especially when it concerns the work of the Lord, it will strengthen your children's faith. They'll know the reality of their beliefs because of what they see in the home. Through hospitality, the love of God is shared. People are drawn into the church and the bond of believers is strengthened. Christ's love and his example are boldly proclaimed through simple everyday actions of love and service, of fellowship and care. And so may the Lord stir in us this excitement to proclaim his love and his word in this way, entertaining all these angels unawares. And so I'd encourage you, start with one act of hospitality and then plan the next one to begin or carry on this new pattern, this Christian legacy. May God's love to us in Jesus Christ be the impetus for us to share the bounty that we all enjoy. May that love then abound in us and through us as we seek to be a congregation of faithful servants in his kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the plainness and the clarity of your word. And dear Lord, please help us to live lives of faith out of gratitude for all that you have done for us and promise us in Jesus Christ. Help us to live out your love that you've shown to us, to all whom you bring into our lives. Dear Lord, may we be used by you as individuals and as families and as a church to encourage each other in the faith, and to bring many to know you through our hospitality. Dear Lord, we pray you'd continue to be with us in this week ahead, that you would be near to us, that you'd continue to give us good health, and we pray that you'd be near to us in all that we do. Enable us to speak boldly wherever the opportunity is given in regards to your word. We pray all this through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.